Welcome to another episode of the Replant Bootcamp, the podcast for church renewal leaders where we listen, learn, and laugh together with boots on the ground church leaders. I'm your host, Jimbo Stewart. This podcast is sponsored by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. Getting a website that your visitors and members will love doesn't have to be hard. Learn more at churchquicksight.com. All right, here we are back at it again, back at the boot camp. I hope you're ready for the next episode. I'm so excited to have a couple of the Replant team members on for this episode to talk about a resource that the Replant team has put out. I could not be more excited about. I think this is going to be one of the more influential, impactful resources our team puts out for all the right reasons, because its focus isn't just on the pragmatics, but primarily on spiritual renewal, which is something we've really started to try to really hone in on and lean into. Welcome to the boot camp, Matt McNaughton and David Jackson.
Hey, how are you guys?
Great to be here, Jimbo.
Man, I'm glad to have you guys on the podcast. Let's talk about falling in love with Jesus again. David, we had you on kind of when this was in the works,
right,
just to give the preview to everybody and let them know what was coming and much anticipated. And now here we are. I have the book in hand, physically in my hands.
I'm so sorry.
Videos. Matt, you got to do a lot of the design and logistics on this.
Yeah.
And so I wanted you on because I know you're super familiar with the content. What was it like for you as somebody who didn't write it, but you're getting to interact with it a lot, to interact with this material?
I loved every bit of it. Like, it's, I mean, I've read it so many times. I don't know how many times I've read this already. I may have read it more than any other book outside of the Bible, going through the design process.
Wow.
But every time, and I've told David this before, like every time I read through it, there's just something else that the Holy Spirit uses to remind me how great Jesus is and how I need to continue growing in my love for him. Mm. It's such a great and practical resource because it's just looking at the words of Jesus and how applicable they are for us today. So getting to design it and lay it out in the book, and then getting to work with David on the videos and just hearing him share his heart is not only encouraging along the way, but convicting. And to get to see this in the hands of pastors and church members and associational leaders, convention leaders, I know it's just going to be a blessing for them. And I can't wait to see how the Lord continues to use this, because he already is, and how he'll use this throughout the country, maybe even the world. It's going to be really cool to watch.
David, talk to us about what this resource is and how it came to be.
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you, Matt, for those kind words. They're awfully humbling as I think about the impact that this book has had on my own life and certainly how it was born into being, as it were. I think most of it comes out, you know, as a writer, most of it comes out of my own need and things that I'm searching and trying to figure out in my own life. And part of that was just trying to make sure that I was recapturing and rekindling that love for Christ in my own heart. It gets real easy to get lost in the busyness of ministry and to allow your heart to get distanced there and to forget about the being part of who you are and get stuck in the doing part of who you are. And I think that was part of what was the genesis of this experience for me. I think our team recognized that we had a need in terms of trying to focus our churches, our associations, our pastors on spiritual renewal, and recognized that just getting focused on practical responses to needs and concerns that churches might try to address through a new program or a new strategy or something like that, I mean, that's all well and good, but it's not going to get at the heart of the issue, which it really is the heart. It's the heart relationship that we have with Christ. And it is his church, right? And we can't forget that. We have to remember this is his church, and he shed his blood for it, and he cares about it more than any of us. The one thing he asks of us, it seems more than anything else, is that we love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The desire is there to do that. As I began to study and look at the churches in Revelation, I recognized that all five of those churches that he critiques are churches that he calls to repent. And that tells me it's a spiritual problem, that there's a default that is absolutely necessary for us to get back to the spiritual condition and recognize that if we don't deal with that first and foremost, then we've got some other concerns that we have to address down the road, because we're avoiding or substituting something that is not necessarily as significant as our own personal relationship with the Lord of his own church.
So we've talked about how this is a book, but really it's more than a book.
Yeah.
And as far as it being a book, I mean, it's a short, it's 52 pages if you count the blank pages. It's a short little book. It's not really... So talk to us about, Matt, the intended use. Like, how is this supposed to be utilized for an association, for a church? Because it's not just read it. What are we doing with this resource?
Right. First, you'll hear, if you watch the videos on the website, you'll see, David, this is something you do with your leaders first. So you walk it through your leaders, and then it's intended to begin there in a church or even association. Associational leader does it with 12 pastors or key leaders in a church. And then for them to take and then go into a workshop design, there's some flexibility on what's best for the church there. So you can do one workshop in one setting, or you can do it in four settings. And so the flexibility there, I think, is great, because you know your church, you know what your church is going to need as you walk through this, but it's intended to be not just read, but put to work, and to use the workshop material to answer different questions. The workshop material is going to attack the heart of the listener and the reader. It's going to pose questions that are intended to make you think, but also to turn towards Jesus in repentance and renewal. Mm-hmm. Even one of the exercises is, if Jesus were to write a letter to your church, what would he say? Mm-hmm. It's helping the church. You're coming together as one, seeking not only individual renewal, but corporate renewal as well. Mm-hmm. And so that's a key session in the workshop, where the church is participating in this together.
Yeah, I think it's...
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to just say, I think it was created for churches for that purpose, to be an interactive resource to help them draw nearer to God, and looking for a sense of soul care in church's life, and a recognition that that's often missing. But as we begin to develop the material, we recognized pretty quickly that if you don't have personal renewal, you can't have corporate renewal. So pastors and leaders needed to go through this on the front end of the experience to be able to model as well as equip their church to be able to experience that same renewal. And frankly, you guys know this, but our listeners don't, that the book was the last thing that really developed. I mean, we didn't even plan to have the book. We planned to have the interactive workshop. We planned to have opportunities for churches to be able to engage each other and leadership, especially hard-hearted churches or stiff-necked churches where there was a rebellious spirit, or they were kind of out of kilter with the need for submitting themselves to the leadership and the lordship of Christ in their lives. But the book just kind of developed as a result of that, as a way, a concrete, tangible element that people could put their hands on and kind of walk through, think through, experience personally. And that's where a lot of, I think, the conviction and passion comes from that Matt was talking about earlier.
Yeah, and it, even in the introduction, David reiterates, as the leader goes, so does the church. Mm-hmm. The renewal begins in the heart of the leader first. Yeah. And then we take this and we pour into our leaders and help them see and fall in love with Jesus again. And that kind of just moves within as you begin to take this to the church as a whole, in order for the whole church to see renewal, even at an individual level and then to the corporate level.
Right. And I think that, you know,
yeah, I think,
go ahead, Jimbo.
I think this answers so many questions that a lot of people are dealing with in churches. It, you know, just here's several that even come to mind as we're talking. One, I was working with a group of leaders recently in a state convention that were talking about trying to help their churches, and we were helping them develop a process to do that. And one of them said, we talked about who to have in the room and having the leaders and the most influential people from the church in the room. And a guy raised his hand and said, what if the most influential people in the church are spiritually immature? What do we do then? And I said, well, here's the reality. That that's going to be common in this work of helping churches revitalize. It's going to be a common occurrence. And that's why our team at the North American Mission Board is always going to emphasize the absolute necessity of dealing with spiritual renewal before we get to strategic processes. Because you just, like, if we're not walking in the Spirit, then we cannot follow what Christ has for us. Not only have we left our first love, we're following the God of our bellies. And so we have to deal with it. But I also think it answers the question. There's one that I get often when a pastor has been the pastor of a church for a long time, and the church is in real need of renewal of some kind. And he'll ask, inevitably, can I, as the pastor who's been here for a long time, lead this church to be renewed? And one of the things I've always heard from my mentors, and so I pass it on, is yes, but you can't be the same pastor you have been. Like, you're going to need to experience some spiritual renewal. In order for you to lead the church in renewal, you're going to have to experience some renewal first. This is not the strategic planning process of how to get your church systematically more efficient and healthy. This is the how do we get our hearts right resource. How do we boil it down to the first love, the fundamentals, the things that matter the most? And then there's somebody else I was talking to recently that I love this phrase from Jim Elliff, Kansas City. He said he and his elders of his church always ask the question at every meeting, we're not asking what do we want to do, what does the head of the church want us to do?
That's good.
What and how do we know what the head of the church wants to do if we don't listen to head of the church?
That's right. Yeah, no, that's real important. And I think all those stories underscore the reality that renewal is more caught than taught. So we can go through the process and try to equip people to do this, but we've got to model it for them as leaders. They've got to see it in our lives, and we've got to recognize the value and importance of it. You know, that's the mirror effect that I talk about in the book, that the congregation is going to reflect its leadership over a period of time. Certainly, Paul talks about that in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. There's accountability built into that, but there's also the recognition that what you see in me is what ought to be happening in you. And that's the engagement, the connection, the passion, the desire to grow in that love relationship with Jesus.
So how would a church determine whether they should do one session, two sessions, three sessions, four, because you guys have presented this in such a way on the website that it can really be done in any of those formats. Is there an advantage to one over the other? What would go into that decision-making process?
Well, I think for me, as the writer, the recognition was that there are really four parts in this passage, and that's the reason it developed into four sessions. Now, you can consolidate them all into one session or two sessions. I think that depends more on the church's recognition of its need and the depth of its necessary understanding of the application of the realities in the Scripture. But the three things that Jesus says in his prescription, he indicates that they need to remember how far they have fallen, that they need to repent. But he says that twice, and that's the reason there are two sessions on repentance. And then he comes back and he says they need to do the things they did at first, what we've called renew in this section, which is get back to the renewing those things they did. So, you know, I just think it depends on how deep you want to go. And some of us are more detail-oriented and we'll want to look at four full sessions. And some of us will look at it and say, you know, it'd be better if we consolidated that down into, say, two or one. I think with your leaders, you can probably do a consolidation of one, and that will help them get a good overview of what you're going to experience. But I personally think, obviously, I wrote it. I think that all four sessions can be very beneficial to the church if they will go through all four. The problem is scheduling that and just trying to figure out how to do that. Do you do it on a Sunday late afternoon, early evening, or do you do it on a Saturday morning into a lunchtime kind of experience? That's probably best. I wouldn't scatter it over 4 weeks in a row, something like that, with one session each week. That just dilutes the emotional impact. And you'll forget a lot of what you talked about before as well. I wouldn't do that. I would try to figure out how you can do it in a consolidated manner, whatever's best for your schedule. Again, I think the pastor's going to know the heart of his church better than just about anybody else. So he'll probably know how big of an issue this really is, How much are we caught up in routine and busyness, as I said before? How obstinate are the people, rebellious toward pastoral authority or toward hard-hearted in their relationship with God? It's all obligation, and it's not really any joy in their experience of worship, and on and on and on we could go. That would be characteristic of a church that's rejoicing in their love relationship with Christ.
And I think there's a warning too that you've mentioned, is don't just do one session just to rush through it and hope you,
right,
you know, strike gold. If one works for your church, then yes, do something. But this is something we want to walk through with our church over time, because I think it's clear throughout the book, the falling in love with Jesus again is an ongoing, yep, pursuit in the life of the Christian.
That's right.
And so when I read the book, I know in 5 years from now, there's probably going to be something where I need to be reminded, I need to fall in love with Jesus again. And sometimes it's daily of returning to my first love and seeing and beholding Jesus and the love he has for me. Mm-hmm. And so that warning that you'll see is, don't just rush through this. Don't pick one session just to get through it, but prayerfully and strategically use this resource to walk through your church in this continual pursuit of Jesus.
Yeah. And I'd say don't approach it as a program. I think that's
right.
One of the concerns that I have is that it's going to become programmed, yeah, into the church's life, as opposed to being an enhancement of the relationship that they have with Christ. Yeah. We talk about looking to him for leadership and head of the church. What does the head of the church want us to do? What does he want us to be as well? Then this ought to be an outgrowth of that. You know, the Jewish people were taught the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. I think the fact that they recognize the value in reminding themselves of that day after day tells us it's a continual process and a great need that we have, because we can very easily get lost in the doing of church instead of being the church, being the children of God, and responding in that love relationship to him as we should. So don't let it just become a program. Don't let it just become something we do, we add to the calendar, though it has to be added to the calendar if you're going to hold the event. Let it be something that kindles a fire of relationship that constantly calls you back to that relationship with God.
One of the ways that I've heard you guys talk about how this might be best utilized is really have associations take this as a resource that they try to utilize in their churches. What would that look like for an associational leader listening to this episode? How would they go about utilizing these resources to serve their churches?
Well, I think the easy way to start is to try to get the pastors together for an event like this and let them go through that one session overview and let them kind of experience. It's very reflective as they walk through these passages of scripture and begin to think about where are they at in their own relationship with Christ and how is that growing and developing and what is it like today as compared to when it started? Why is the difference? If we're not moving forward, what's going on in our own life? And I think that that can be a great catalyst to not only to them going back and leading their leaders and church through it, but also encouragement to each other as colleagues in ministry to recognize, hey, man, we're all in the same boat. We're all going through the same thing. We all need to pursue this relationship, and yet it's easy to sideline it or to let other things supersede it in terms of our responsibilities. And that can be, I guess what I'm trying to say is that can encourage us and it can help us to know we're on the journey, not by ourselves, but that there may be other churches in the association that have similar concerns and we may be able to help each other as we work through that process.
Matt, talk to us about how to utilize a couple things. One, how to best utilize the website and access these resources. And then two, if they want to get a physical copy or a digital copy of the book itself or the student notes, how does somebody access all of that information?
All right. So if you go to fallinginlovewithjesusagain.com, that will take you right to the Replant Hub, which is a great place for our team where resources are found. So fallinginlovewithjesusagain.com has all the materials. It's got a free digital version of the book. It's got the teacher manuals, for leading and facilitating a workshop, and it's got the student materials that you would print off and have for each member of the workshop. So they are free for you to use in your churches, because we want this to see your churches and your church members fall in love with Jesus again. There are some answers to some questions on the website. Like, we already talked about it, but one of the questions with a little bit more detail is, how do I determine whether we should do one session or more with my church? Mm-hmm. And then there's some videos on the site that are not intended to be used in the sessions. Right. They are intended for the facilitator.
That's right.
We don't want to be the ones leading this workshop. It is you, the leader of your church, leading the workshop with your people. But we, David's graciously put together some videos for an overview of the resource, encouragement for pastors and leaders. And then he does an overview of each of those sessions. Remember, repent, repent as a church and renew. That's just to provide some supplemental resource for the facilitator. And you can find those all at fallinginlovewithjesusagain.com. To request a physical copy, you can email us at replant@nam.net, and there'll be a form that we'll send you to, hey, request a copy. We have limited quantity right now, and so we want to do our best to provide those as we can. But we'll also include them in the show notes here, or the link to the form to where you can fill out and request a copy. But again, the digital version is available to you and to anyone as well. And it's only 50 pages. We wanted to set it up to where it's easily accessible, even from a phone, to where as many people can have it in their hands as possible.
Yeah. I mean, I love the distinction you guys made about the videos. Those are for, I just want to reiterate, those are for preparing you as the facilitator. This is not a video study where you need to be playing these videos for everyone else. That's for you to help you get ready to lead in the shops.
That's correct.
Yeah. And that's to reiterate that renewal process begins in the leader of you, the leader of the local church. Mm-hmm. And as much as we love local churches, we don't love your local church like you love your local church. Right. And so those videos are just to help you in your personal time to prepare to go and lead your church to renewal in Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. David, what's one last thought you'd love to leave with the listeners about this resource?
Well, obviously, we love because he first loved us, and that keeps my heart soft, remembering that, you know, it doesn't start with me, it starts with Christ. I need to tap into that. But I'd also encourage you to recognize that love is an action verb, and so it's going to lead us into something that we should be doing to demonstrate our love for Christ. He demonstrated it for us at Calvary, and we talk about that this time of year, every time of year. It makes all the difference in the world. But as we love, we don't just feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. It moves us to action, the right kind of action, not just any action, the right kind of action, which is what he is calling this church at Ephesus back to, and us as well, to do the things we did at first, the kind of passion and love and desire that we had that caused us to want to share it with other people, that wanted us to spend more time in his presence, to be able to encourage and bless others in the church family, and on and on and on, the kind of things that we ought to be doing to love our neighbor as ourself and to love our God more than anything else. So that would be my word of encouragement to you. Take it to heart and show it in your life.
What about you, Matt? Any last thoughts you'd like to share?
I highly recommend just taking the time with your church and walking through not just this resource, but the passage of scripture that it's built on and it comes from. And we're planning to do it at Grace Life this year. The first time I read it, it's just so good and encouraging and helpful. And David mentions this is the Father's one desire for us. Mm. It's not just another program. This is a heart posture that's needed in our churches and in our own lives. And so my encouragement would be, man, walk through it with your church and deeply pray, not just to treat this as a program, as David's already mentioned, but Lord, change the heart posture of our church that we will fall in love with you again. And that if you were to ever write a letter to us, it would not be worded how it was to the church of Ephesus. You're doing some things well, but you've missed out on the most important thing of all. And may that not be said of our churches.
That's good.
David, would you pray a prayer over those listening and over those that are going to utilize this resource to close us out?
I would be glad to. Father, we thank you again for the love that you have demonstrated in sending your son to die on the cross of Calvary for us. And we are so grateful that we are able to love because you have first loved us. So we thank you today for our conversation and for the opportunity that we have to experience that love, to share that love with others. We pray that you would grow us in that love. May we rekindle it like at the beginning of our relationship, and in a maturing way, may it grow greater and deeper and better than ever before. And may churches and pastors and associational leaders that are listening today, may they capture the joy of their salvation that is found in that love relationship they have with Christ. Once again, may it flourish, Lord, all for your glory and honor and for our good. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Replant Bootcamp podcast, where listening to the field will lead you to the future. The Replant Bootcamp podcast is brought to you by Church QuickSight by 180 Digital. With Church QuickSight, you'll get a beautiful, customized website with all the features you need to help your church grow. A helpful project manager to make sure everything is just how you want it. And the legendary 180 Digital hosting and support to keep things running great. 180 Digital is a team of design, development, and marketing experts who know and love the local church. So go to churchquicksite.com to learn more and get started.